Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining me today. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Again, it's crossandthrone.com. Our phone number is area code 847-312-4676. Go to our website. You can get these programs for free, and you can listen to them again at your leisure. And also you can get, there's a few items we make available. We don't have a big bookstore, but a few key items. We have a companion Bible, great study tool, and some other items that are just for your benefit of study. We encourage every one of you to be Bible readers. Read the Bible cover to cover. And I brought this up before. If you've never made it a point to read through the Scriptures cover to cover, start today. You can probably get through, I know in my Bible it's about 4 to 4.5 pages a day to get through the Bible in a year. If you want to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, you must have a knowledge of all Scripture, and every believer should be skillful in the Word of God. Don't depend upon a highly paid pastor to do it. You need to do it yourself. You can't prove all things if you don't have a good knowledge of the Word of God. And also, as we pointed out, if you listen to our ministry long enough, we realize that not only are we to read the Bible, we're to believe it, and then we're to put it into practice through right division. So anyways, we hope you do that. We're in Ephesians chapter 1, and if you recall last time, we pointed out that this is directed to the saints and also to those who are faithful in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. It's one thing to be a saint. It's another thing to be faithful in Christ Jesus. Faithful in the truth connected with the risen and ascended Christ. And we can't stress that enough. And I think that's maybe the reason maybe that Ephesians is not well understood and people are sinking to an earthly calling rather than enjoying their position in the heavenlies. It's because they're not faithful to the truth that God has revealed through the Apostle Paul here in this letter of the Ephesians. Well, again, we pointed out last time that Paul started off by saying, "Blessed be God, speak well of him and praise him and applaud him." And this is not something that's just for those who get excited in a church meeting. This is not just for those who belong to certain denominations. Every believer who's embraced these truths should look up to God and just speak well of him and applaud him for his marvelous works. Now let's continue in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now we're going to see this is going to be a theme. He's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said in the Gospel of John, he said, "I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." The Lord Jesus has a relationship to God and the Father. And we're going to keep this in mind because, and it's interesting, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 and through 17, Paul addresses this, he prays in Ephesians 1, and this prayer is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. The prayer is to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, we have another prayer of Paul. And this one is verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So these titles are not just used to no purpose. There's a reason. He's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that by the fact that Paul, when he has his two great prayers in Ephesians 1 and 3, one is addressed to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and one is addressed to the Father, because those prayers concern something specific. And I think you'll see in Ephesians 1, it has to do with the power of God raising Christ from the dead and seating him at the right hand. In Ephesians, it's the family scene that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ would give us a knowledge into the love of Christ and so on and so forth. And I'm not quoting that verbatim, but I just want you to see that there are distinctions in Scriptures with the divine titles. Just to give you another, for instance, one unbeliever pointed out in Genesis 1, God created the heaven and the earth, and in Genesis 2, it's the Lord God. And some have made that two creations. Well, that's because they're ignorant of the purposes of God. In Genesis 1, it's God the Creator in relation to His creation. And in Genesis 2, God goes back and gives details He doesn't have in Genesis 1. And there the title, the Lord God, is given. The Lord, the covenant Creator in relation to His creatures. And it was very important for Israel to see that Jehovah, was the Lord God there. So, without getting too much details, notice the divine titles. Well, here is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says this about him, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, first of all, notice, it's he hath blessed us. If you go through Ephesians 1, here's another assignment for you. Notice how everything is hath. He hath done this, he hath done that, and it's always in Christ. So he hath done it. He's already blessed us. We always say, oh, God, bless me. Oh, God, bless me. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't seek for God's blessings in certain circumstances. But in this case, these are blessings that are already ours. God has already blessed us. Now, remember, we pointed out that in verse 1, we're to bless God, but he's also blessed us. We're to speak well of God, but guess what? He's also spoken well of us. He's blessed us. And how has he blessed us? With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Notice the word all. It's all spiritual blessings. Any blessing connected with heavenly places in Christ, God has given to us. He's spoken well of us in those terms. Now think about this. Ponder these verses for a minute. Sometimes preachers like to explain things to death, and I know I'm probably guilty of that many times because we think, sometimes we're trying to teach ourselves as well. But ponder these verses. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now notice the term spiritual blessings. These are blessings you cannot measure with a bank account. As a matter of fact, Paul, who wrote Ephesians, remembers something. He's writing from prison. Paul is writing from prison. He's a prisoner, as we're going to see in Ephesians 3 and Ephesians 4 when he writes Ephesians. So Paul, when he's talking about blessings here, he cannot be referring to a bank account or a good station in life because he's in prison when he wrote it. Now this term spiritual is, sometimes we see this word spiritual and we think it always means like holy or something like that. But it's interesting, if you were to search the Old Testament, the only time you see the word spiritual is a phrase that says, the spiritual man is mad. And that's found in Job. But I think the best way to define spiritual is in Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul says this, in Ephesians 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now notice Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Spiritual wickedness. And by the way, so the term spiritual can't always apply to something good, because here we have spiritual wickedness. And so what are spiritual blessings? I think they're not flesh and blood blessings. Just like we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. So in Ephesians 1, we can't measure our blessings by flesh and blood means. In other words, they're not blessings that are found on this earth that you can measure with a measuring cup. I think this is in reference to the fact that they're spiritual and connected with a sphere called the heavenly places. And I hope that makes sense. It says here that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's already ours. If it meant earthly blessings, you and I would be living like Solomon right now. That's part of the reason they're not fleshly blessings. Now that does not mean, however, I'm not going to say that as I'm sitting here recording this program, I'm sitting in my room and I'm at a desk and I'm looking out at a nice tree in front of my home here. And it's a sunny day, and there's a car in the driveway, and I have a wife and children in the home, and I consider these a blessing of God. But these are not spiritual blessings. These are things connected with my life here on earth. And I think when we go through Ephesians, we're going to see what those blessings are. And so I hope that makes sense. So we thank God, and I thank God for the food I eat, and the family I have, and the things that I enjoy here on this earth. But these are not what Paul is referring to in Ephesians 1:3. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, notice, in heavenly places in Christ. Not until Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, do we ever read of a people that are going to enjoy blessings connected with heavenly places. Now, where are these heavenly places? Now, I want to just show you, in Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, in Ephesians 1, we read this. And it's referring to the mighty power of God, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So where is Christ right now? He's in the heavenly places. Where? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So the place where that Christ now sits by God's mighty power, far above all celestial beings, is the sphere where you and I are blessed. Now, nobody ever in the history of the scriptures of the world has ever had a hope of going to heaven, or could they have ever dreamed of being seated at the right hand. It never happened. Job, in the book of Job, chapter 19, you read this. I'm just quoting here, so forgive me if I'm off. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand in the latter days upon the earth, and I shall see him. Something like that. Job looked for a resurrection on the earth. David looked for resurrection on the earth. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob looked for resurrection on the earth. Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day, and that's a resurrection on the earth. But here, Paul is referring to a group of people who are associated with Christ at the right hand. And again, in Ephesians 2, verse 6, it referring to us. Well, let's look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, that's ours already. We have it now. It's ours positionally in Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, it says this, to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. So those are just a few references. There's five total in Ephesians to heavenly places. It's the place that the believer is now seated positionally with Christ in heavenly places. And in Colossians 3 it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we will appear with him in glory. Christ right now is hidden at the right hand of God. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Where is that? At the heavenly places. In the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, he'll make his manifestation in those heavenly places. We also will appear with him in glory. This is our position, dear beloved ones. Think about this. Ponder this. Think about the fact that God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that it is the place where he now sits at the right hand. It's the place where you and I are now seated together with him positionally. In Ephesians chapter 3, it's the place where you and I are making known to the celestial beings God's manifold wisdom. And this is an amazing thought. Just like Israel on earth was to be a blessing to the world around them, you and I as members of the body are seated with him in heavenly places, and our lessons, and I think in some measure we will be used by God for the celestial realm as Israel is to be used on earth. That's all I can say on it. This is Dan Sheridan. Went a little over because it's a great topic. Our number, our web address, crossandthrone.com. Our number, 847-312-4676. This is listener supported. If you like this teaching and you want to see it continue, please consider supporting the cost of the radio program. Again, you can reach us at 847-312-4676. Until next time, remember this: in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, that God may be all in all.